Isn't that a great gospel? That's one great gospel passage, the story of the two disciples who meet Jesus on the road. If my reflections don't help you at all, you can look at the front cover of the Annalen Way. There's a little artistic meditation on this very event. There's Jesus in the middle and the two disciples, and you can see them walking away from Jerusalem. You can see them walking away from the city, walking away from the cross, from the tomb, walking away from the sun. But Jesus is with them. It's a very, I think, a very striking piece of artwork, a kind of artistic pondering. Well, before we look to the scriptures, which both of the readings are really beautiful today, let's review briefly the liturgical approach to this time, or the concept of liturgical time itself. As you know, those who follow the liturgy know that the liturgy has a different perspective on the flow of time. It's not completely different from the secular approach, but it is, on the other hand, very different. There's some overlap, but there's big, big differences. Maybe this is more obvious at Christmas time, Advent Christmas. Very clear that we're both celebrating Christmas, the secular world and the church, but in a completely different way and a different rhythm. In the secular world, there's no such thing as Advent. There's just Christmas, and then after Christmas, December 25, Christmas is over. And in the church, there's Advent, and then Christmas begins when the secular Christmas ends. So it's obvious at that time of year. This time of year, it might not be so obvious, but it's actually a deeper difference, because what we're celebrating so far transcends what the world even thinks about. At least at Christmas time, everyone understands what's a birth, what's a birthday. But who knows what risen life is all about? Who even thinks of it? We're so caught up in the pandemic. So this is what we're doing. We're in the middle of the octave of Easter, and the octave of Easter parallels the Holy Week. We know the center of the whole year is the sacred Paschal Triduum. That's the center. But before the Triduum, Holy Week. After the Triduum, Easter octave. So we can see this kind of parallel structure. And the Holy Week, well, we call it Holy Week. A week, we know, is a week. The octave stands for eight days, but it's treated as one day. So there's a Holy Week and then there's one day. In fact, the Easter day is the day that never ends, the sun that never sets. We can't live in this world with a day that never ends, so the church says let's make it 8 days, symbolic of this unending light of the risen Lord. So here we are on Wednesday of the octave, but we're still saying this is the day the Lord has made. This is the day of rejoicing, alleluia. And the gospel today is again taken from Easter Day. It says at the very beginning, that very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to the village. So we're still on Easter Day, it's very clear. Now, I have said in the past couple of days that the danger is if we look to two natural evidence, it will look to us like nothing has changed at all, because we still are passing through this valley of tears, and that can distract us from what we're rejoicing in. Yesterday every day has its own litany of woes, but yesterday had a number of things that could make us wonder whether we should celebrate or not. I don't know if you experienced this, but we had no water all day yesterday. No water. So, you know, that gets old pretty fast, and you don't have any water. And there was no water even up until bedtime. It came on in the middle of the night. very weak and very dirty. So, well, it's a funny thing because at least a little bit of dirty water is better than no water at all. But it's still a hardship. Then, much more serious, we got the news that one of our members tested positive for COVID-19. And so we're praying for him and his family, of course. And that is a concrete case for us and people that we know well and who gather with us here in the chapel. We say, oh, this is the pandemic coming home again. So that's a deep concern. And then we ran out of mass wine. You know this, the household does. We were, of course, running out of wine last week, but we were at ECQ, so we couldn't go to any store. There weren't any stores, and there's a liquor ban, so you can't go out and buy any mass wine. So then they extended the ECQ, so there's still no wine. So now, how can that not make you think of the wedding at Cana when you run out of wine? But we can be grateful to the parish. We asked the parish for a bottle, and they gave us 3 bottles. So the Lord provided. But I'm just saying, there's all kinds of natural hardships that we will still pass through. Sickness, contradiction, deprivation, division, whatever. That's why it's important for us to enter into the liturgical flow of time and what the liturgy is presenting to us. The world will always present us with problems. Or ups and downs, of course, ups and downs. But it will never transcend itself. It can't. So we turn to the scriptures, we turn to the liturgy, and it's an abundant feast. This is true all the time. It's true in Holy Week, certainly true this week. Aren't these readings in the octave of Easter very rich? Someone sent me an observation yesterday. She had read an observation of a priest, which I have often thought myself, that it's such a shame that people who make such a great effort to attend the Mass in Lent, then after Easter, those who made daily Mass their Lenten practice, they stop. You get to the richness of the Easter octave and there's nobody around. Of course, this year it doesn't count because there's nobody around. There was no one around last week or this week because of the lockdown. But the contradiction there. Here we're at the very peak, and it's as if people don't notice. That's why I say that the contrast is starker now than even at Christmas, because at Christmas time, at least people are celebrating. Even if after Christmas, people are not celebrating Christmas, there's still a festive spirit in the air on the New Year's and holidays and all that. But in the days after Easter, it's as if nothing happened. Nobody even knows that it was Easter on Sunday. They're just back to worldly concerns. Okay, now we have these great readings. We can't exhaust these. The story of the 2 disciples going to Emmaus, and the story of 2 other disciples healing a man crippled from birth tells us many things, but let me just point out 2 things. One is Jesus is with us on the road. Jesus risen is with us on the road. This is a gospel of presence, both in the social and historical dialogue of life on the road and in the breaking of the bread. So Jesus' presence is with us in his word, in his entry into our present experience, circumstances, and in the sacraments, presence. So Jesus is with us. The first reading tells us that presence of Jesus operates through us in the church. We know Jesus can heal and feed and raise from the dead and everything. We know that. It's the whole gospel is about that. But this miracle in the first reading is Peter and John healing a man crippled from birth. The very same power at work in Jesus Christ is at work in the church now. Now, I know that sometimes the scriptures can seem far away, they don't seem to have practical application. We have to keep acclimating ourselves to this richness. This is like fine dining, you know. You have to get a taste for it. If children like fast food, they like candies. If you give them something, a very refined meal, they won't really like it because they can't appreciate it. Or someone who's used to pop music, say, or children's songs. If you play them a symphony or something, high developed musical art, they won't get it. It doesn't even sound appealing. Well, this is something like the Easter scriptures. They're very rich, and you have to get immersed in them in order to appreciate them. Now, I can't go into every detail here, but isn't it beautiful how Jesus joins these two disciples on the road? Here I'm talking about people who don't appreciate good food and children who don't appreciate very complex music. Well, these two disciples don't appreciate that it's Easter Day. They don't get it. Even though the announcement has already been made that the tomb is empty and that these women saw angels, they still don't get it. They're leaving. Leaving with dashed hopes. We were hoping that he was the one, but we're not hoping anymore. So they are going in the wrong direction, but Jesus goes with them. Jesus joins us even when we're going in the wrong direction, not in order to approve of our disorder or to affirm our error, but in order to join us and reveal himself to us, to make known his love, his mercy, his presence. It's a great thing to ponder. Jesus does not give up on us, even when we give up on him. Okay, then they have this little pondering group on the road, discuss the scriptures. Notice how Jesus, as much as he loves them and as patient as he is with them, he's also not afraid to correct them, even to insult them. Oh, how foolish you are. That doesn't sound very loving and merciful, but it's a loving correction. It's a tough love. Oh, how foolish you are. How slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Now, we find out later that those two disciples experienced their hearts burning within them. Well, what did they experience when they were told they were foolish and slow of heart? I'm sure they were brought up short, as if a kind of awakening, because they were preoccupied with all that had just happened and all that had just gone wrong, and here comes this stranger telling them there's something wrong with them. So their focus was on the outside, and he turns the spotlight on their inner life, on their foolishness, on their slowness of heart to believe. Then he says something which is a flash of light that is still shining on us. It was necessary for the Christ to suffer. It was necessary for the Christ, the Messiah, to suffer. We think, and even those of us who have been journeying on this journey of faith for years, we never think that suffering is necessary. We never think that. It doesn't come naturally to us. So we have to keep getting fed this truth. Suffering is necessary. Doesn't mean we like it. I mean, Jesus didn't like it. Nobody likes it. But it has an incalculable value. Jesus' suffering certainly does. We've redeemed the whole world. But our suffering with his has value. So it opens our eyes to a completely new dimension of suffering. Opens our eyes to a completely new dimension of our experience in this present moment. Pandemic, no water, whatever other hardships, sicknesses. Now, newness, that awareness of a new meaning of life is what Peter and John are carrying in their hearts when they go to the temple and they meet this man crippled from birth. They didn't have any money. They didn't have any money before. They've always been poor. They're poor fishermen. But they don't think of what they don't have. They're not preoccupied with their problems. They see the man, and Peter says, I have neither silver nor gold. You're looking for money? Sorry, I don't have any. But what I do have, I give you. What I have, I give you. Does that remind you of the theme of the 500 years of Christianity? The theme is gifted to give. Gifted to give. That's what we're celebrating in this 500th anniversary. What we have received is what we have to give. What I have, what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, rise and walk. And it happens. This is the message of the gospel to our crippled world. We don't have answers. We don't have the money. We don't have all the practical solutions to all the problems. But what we do have is the power that makes that frees us from the bonds of death itself, so that we can rise up. We can jump up, we can walk around, we can praise God, even in the middle of a pandemic. So this crippled man, jumping all around, praising God, is what we are supposed to be doing during the octave of Easter. In fact, our whole life of faith is interiorly a leap of joy. Okay, by the way, these are things to continue to ponder, to continue to rejoice in, and continue to cling to and savor as we experience at the same time the sufferings of the present day.